praise you, Jesus. The fear is gone. The fear is gone. The fear is gone. I've not given you a spirit of bondage again to fear, but I've given you the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. No more fear. The fear is gone. It's just gone. The prison doors are open. Walk out. Walk out. There's nothing holding you back. The work's been done. The chains have been broken. You can't break those chains. My son came to destroy the works of the devil. My son came to open that door that's been holding you in, and he's done it. The door is open. Walk out into the freedom you have in me. Walk out. Walk out. It's an illusion. You are free. You are free. You are free in me. You haven't received a spirit of bondage again to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption. Abba, Father, power, love, sound mind. You are free. Walk out. Walk out. Step out. Declare. Believe. See yourself free. There's nothing to work through here. You're free. Walk out. Walk out. Walk out into that freedom wherewith Christ has already made you free.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, again, good morning. Welcome. Praise God. Again, yeah, just be encouraged this morning. You know, Jesus made a way. It's pretty a pretty powerful thing when you just stop to realize that, you know, God has given us, you know, I think of the two scriptures in Romans that we were referring to this morning. God hasn't given us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then Paul, writing to Timothy, says, we haven't received a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And that's such a good reminder that God is never siding with fear, all right? It's just like, oh, that's a check, all right? This isn't God trying to scare me or spook me here. That's not how he's communicating to me. And so to just realize that, be encouraged, be strengthened, and you don't have to put up with it. It's kind of what we're just kind of getting at. We can praise God by the power of the name of Jesus, break that thing and move on to what God wants us to do. Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and get started in a Psalm 91, verses 1 through 2. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. All right, and then that's kind of the top half of the psalm, and here's the bottom half of that same psalm. It says, because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him on high, because he's known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I love this psalm. I love, you know, these portions of this psalm because, you know, there's just something about these scriptures that really bring me to a special place in my relationship with God. You know, first of all, you dwelling in the secret place, abiding into the shadow of the Almighty. You can kind of see this as like a safe place. The Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I'll trust. He kind of gives you this picture of a safe place to go. to hide, to rest, to trust, a shelter. You know, Jesus said, you know, the winds are going to blow, the storms are going to come, you know, but when we're in that shelter, we've built our house on the rock, we find our safety in God, there's protection. And then the other side of that is, you know, this is really God speaking. Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. In other words, God is basically saying, because he's chosen to come in to me and find his rest and his shelter in me, I'm going to do this for him. He's going to call on my name and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. And I love this. You know, in trouble, not only am I going to deliver him, but I'm going to deliver him and honor him. Wow. Praise God. God, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God is showing and speaking to us how he wants to care for us, how he wants himself to be that safe place for us. And this morning, I'm going to be talking about God is a safe place. God is a safe place. We've been on a series recently about healing and receiving healing. We've looked at the legal side of healing, the receiving side of healing, and different things like that. And I've just was kind of checked in my spirit. As I was preparing for another side of the mountain, I just felt like we needed to take, you know, when you go on, I'm not much of a mountain hiker and that, but I know that there's times when you're hiking, you got to take some rests and respites, you know, as you're hiking mountains, you know. And I just felt like this morning we needed to take a little bit of rest in our hiking. And it's important to realize whatever you talk about when it comes to theology and doctrine and obviously a lot of different things and whatnot, everything should be resolved and worked through. I love the scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There should be a space of a safe place that you can work through things in your life. Is your establishing doctrine? Is your establishing what you believe and why you believe what you believe? And I really feel like it's important as we're in this journey, as it relates to healing and God's will and desire for us to be healed, to realize there's a bigger picture here. God's a safe place, all right? Now, I was, you know, I'm in a non-denominational charismatic church, and you can kind of see our style of worship, and yeah, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues, all that kind of stuff, and lifting our hands in worship and whatnot, but, you know, I was raised in the Lutheran church. That it's not like this is old hat for me. It isn't. You know, for me to get from there to here, you know, and to change doctrine, to change theology, to change what I believe, I needed this to get from there to here, right? I didn't surrender my life to Jesus Christ for somebody else to become somebody else's slave or person that's going to tell me what to do with the rest of my life. No, I have a real relationship with God. There's a real safe place. This is the incubation place where what I believe about God gets worked out. And again, as we're kind of going forward into some really cool things of the Spirit and healing and things, don't lose sight of this. This is where it's real. The first time I ever lifted my hands in worship was not in a church service. I mean, I think the very first time when I saw it, I was probably in junior high, and I was laughing at how ridiculous and dramatic people were being, you know? I just didn't get it, you know, the first time, you know? And then kind of later, as I kind of learned more about the Word and God and different things like that, I'd see it, and I was like, yeah. The first time I did it, and I'm not saying that you've got to do it like me, but the first time for me, it was in my safe place. It was in my bedroom. I was just having my little devotion time with God and just listening to some music. I thought, well, praise God, hallelujah, thank you. And there's nobody here, nobody around. You know, because when you judge, you don't judge lest you be judged. And so when you get a critical spirit, it's hard to do things because you just instinctively self-judge. You can't get away from that. That's spiritual law. So I kind of got in my own little prayer closet in prayer time, and I just began to just worship God. And all of a sudden, I was like, I got it. This was just, it was a surrender. And it was just helping me to get more, less distracted and more connected, a physical posture. You know, obviously the physical act of raising your hands doesn't make you more spiritual than anybody else, but it just helps. It was a help. You know, the scripture says, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So there was just an act of obedience to realize, wow, praise God, this really, it does aid in my worship as I'm worshiping God. You know, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. Again, I had in a church, had a lot of people lay hands on me. That's a great way to do it. I've laid hands on people in a public place. They've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, taken nothing away from that. I'm saying what worked out for me is I was in my prayer closet in my bedroom all by myself, just worshiping God. And somewhere along the lines, the hallelujahs it was a language I didn't recognize, but it was a safe place. And it was like, and the theology, the things that I began to learn and grow and develop, you know, that's done in a safe place of your walk with the Lord and your walk with Jesus, okay? So this morning, we're going to talk about God is a safe place. And sometimes we can lose sight of that. I mean, we'd all get that right on a test. If I was to say true or false, we'd all say true. But in our hearts, we might not say true if there are things we don't understand, if there are things we don't get. Maybe why somebody didn't get healed, or why this happened to me, or why I'm in this situation. You know, why God? You know, and so as we're establishing theology, as we're growing, doing different things, we cannot forget where it all started out. It all started out in a garden with God. And we're going back, in a sense, this morning to that place in God. And that's what I just really, my heart for the message this morning is for you and your heart, regardless of what you believe about the particulars of doctrine, that there is just a fresh sense of, okay, I know one thing for sure. God is a safe place. I can go here. And from this place, he's going to get me to where I need to be. And so as we're going forward this morning, again, God is a safe place. So we're going to take a look at a few aspects of why we can establish from Scripture that God is a safe place. And again, just to refresh and strengthen our heart, God knows you, all right? God knows you. Again, these are stuff you'd get right on a test, but let's talk a little bit specifically more what we mean by that. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? This is just a beautiful psalm, a revelation that God just absolutely, in the acknowledging that God absolutely knows us completely. Now, when I've read this, you know, there have been times I've read this and it's made me nervous, and there's times I've read this and it's put me at ease. This morning, we want this to put you at ease, because, you know, with people, we can hide our hands. We might show our hands. We might show some cards, hold other cards. This psalm is saying God sees all your cards all the time, so you never have to play him. We still do. We still try to. But this psalm reminds us that he already knows me completely. Why is God a safe place? One of the reasons that God is such a safe place is he just knows me thoroughly already. I remember hearing a story about a guy who, I think he was a believer for sure. I think he may have even been in the ministry. And he just really backslid hard and just went out into the world. I remember Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He must have just did something like that. Just fell into the world, fell into sin. And he was all of a sudden, he was at one of these clubs that he shouldn't be at. And all of a sudden, he just heard with a clarity in his own spirit, what are you doing here? And his first thought was, what are you doing here? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? In his mind, it was already checkmate. God had already forsaken. It's over. It's over. No. God is right there. I mean, that was his testimony. He came back to the Lord. It was restored. But one of the things that marked him was like, wow, where can I go from your presence? I can't run away from the presence of God. He's there. He's for me. He's there. He knows me completely. I mean, it's one thing for somebody to really like you and love you, and you know what they know for the most part about you, but then there's God who knows every detail and just loves you. Wow. That's a safe place. Only God can love you like that. You can never put the expectation and the pressure on a person to love you like that. God is the one who loves you completely and thoroughly. That's why we love him more than father, mother, brother, sister, spouse. He's the only one with the capacity to love like that. He knows you completely, and he loves you completely. Paul, Hebrew writer puts it this way. He said, the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There is not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's just something freeing about this. And again, it really goes back to the garden. You know, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, when they missed it, they ran and did the fig leaves, right? They were trying to hide their hand a little bit. They were trying to get away. God kind of plays along with it, says, where are you? But, you know, when you confess your sin, it's not when God finds out about it. When you confess sin, it's just when you decide to be honest about it. And that's when freedom begins, you know? Sin doesn't, you know, when we sin, it affects our fellowship with God. And so it affected Adam and Eve's fellowship with God. Thank God the price has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have boldness and access. We have a throne of grace to obtain mercy, to help in time of need. We're there. But he knows us completely. He knows us completely, and he loves us completely. It's one thing also, let me just say this, at one point in your life when you called upon the name of the Lord and it dawned on you, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. Now you've had a chance to live for Jesus for a while and to realize he knows you the same, complete, thorough, and he still loves you today the same. What are we saying? God is a safe place. Obviously, people, depending on who people are, may or may not be a safe place. But God is. There is nothing, that is just so amazingly, refreshingly wonderful. There is nothing in my heart, mind, that God doesn't know. Here's the cool thing too. He hasn't, when you realize that he knows you, he has an empathy for you. He knows your private frustrations, the private grief, the private stuff that you may keep hidden from everybody else, but he's there. He's there. He wants to be for you there. He wants you to realize he's there. When we have some of these moments with God and we think, it's just me and I'm frustrated, to realize, no, God is there. You're frustrated. It's okay. He's there. He loves you. He's for you. He gets you. He knows you completely. I'm not having to clean myself up to approach him. He's there right now. I can rest in his presence. This is what makes him a safe place. Praise God. He knows me, loves me completely. Not only that, but he cares. It's one thing to know that he loves me, that he understands me, he sees me, but he's not just sitting back as a spectator feeling sorry for me. He cares for me. Now, Jesus gave us a few little examples of what it means, you know, some analogies of God's care for us. He said, Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Praise God. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So just a powerful illustration of how intimately God knows us, how intimately God cares for us. You know, when we think of the day and age we live in, a computer age, we're used to this information age where we've got, you know, information that can be stored on millions of people, billions of people at a time. And all the little fine points and things like that about your life and different things can be stored on a database somewhere. God knows everything about everybody, and he cares for them. We're used to computers being able to know stuff about us, but a computer can't care for you like God cares for you. Now, Peter puts it this way, therefore, humble yourselves into the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Let me tell you something about a scripture like this. Don't wait until you feel like this is really true. Begin to act like it's really true, and you'll feel it after that. Just by faith, begin to cast your cares on him. These are things that we know by faith. How do I know that God cares for me? The Bible tells me so. The same Bible that tells me that Jesus loves me tells me that God cares for me. And by that authority of that same word, I, in that safe place where he knows me completely, I begin to cast my cares on him. And he cares for me. Now, this is what we're kind of calling the laboratory. I kind of think the laboratory, the garden, whatever you want to say, if you're kind of the natural or the science, what side of your brain you want to work with. But it's that secret, special, safe place where you can begin to communicate with God. Here's the cool thing. You know, I get it. Like I said, I've been in the church world now for over 30 years. I kind of came over from Lutheran to charismatic. I understand the process of finding out and discovering what you believe and why you believe what you believe. And this is kind of part of that process too, knowing God cares for me, God loves me, and I don't have to have it all figured out. You know, people will kind of put pressure on you to know this and to understand this or else or kind of feel like you're not getting it or you're not seeing it. God doesn't do that. He's just very patient. And I'm kind of talking about this now in the context of working out theology and stuff. God, you know, what is this? You know, show me. Bear witness. You know, lead. You said your spirit to lead and guide me into all truth. I want to know the truth. Is that word divided rightly? Is that accurate? Be candid with God about this stuff. Why is that important? Because when you get that witness in the secret place and God shows you things and gives you revelation and truth, then you know it, you got it. We kind of say it almost so much, you know, search things out, be a good Berean, check things out to make sure it's true. Well, today we're kind of looking at that process a little bit of being a good Berean, where you're going in that safe place with God, you're checking things out, and you don't have to have it figured out in a week. You don't have to have it figured out in a month. You just begin to think, pray it out, begin to read the scriptures, and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. There are things that you're going to get in the presence of God as you're just fellowshipping with God, and you'll see things, and things will click, and it's you and him. Praise God. And when it's you and him, and you see the word is divided that way, and it's not just like, oh, that's a clever way to divide the word to make your doctrine work, you know? But no, it's not a clever way, it's the word. It's true, and the Spirit bears witness that it's truth. And you know that by your heart, by your own spirit. You know, a lot of times, even our own kids, my own life, one of the big questions that you get is, how do you know this Bible's the Word of God? I mean, really? How do you know that? As you begin to work some stuff out here, how can you really trust this book. I kind of like to put it this way. Here's my experience in my coming to trusting in this book. The same Holy Spirit that revealed to me my sinful condition, the Holy Spirit that revealed to me my need for Jesus and showed me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, the same Holy Spirit kept bringing me back to this book. The same Holy Spirit bore witness that this word is true. I've said I believe it's true for years, but the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. And what is this? This is your intimate time with God. This is your walking, or you know, having time and hanging out with God that this begins to happen. Now, let's take a look at what Jesus said. Again, this is the caring side of the safe place of God. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." God is a safe place, but here's the deal. We need to come unto him. The psalmist said, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I'm coming to him. And this is something that as you're working through things, and this isn't just theology stuff, this is also personal stuff, as you're trying to get victory in your own life over things, whether it's fear or forgiveness issues or addictions or fill in the blank, the works of the flesh, relationships, whatnot. One of the big keys is right here. Just come unto me. You don't have to have it figured out. You don't have to have the five scriptures. Just come unto me. What are you bringing? Burdens, ladenness. That's what I got. And I'm coming to get rest for my soul. But here's the deal. Now, we've talked a lot about this in recent weeks. We had a little series called How to Get a Ripped Mind That Wants to Think on the Right Things All the Time. All right? And we've talked about a lot of different phases and facets of that. How to get a spiritually ripped mind that wants to think on the right things all the time. And this is such an important element of that, because when you find yourself, let's just say that this is the secret safe place. I mean, here you are in the zone. You're just there. God loves you, and you know God loves you, and I shall not be moved. Isn't that an awesome place? You're there, and it's like, I will never leave this place again, ever. But we live down here with the cares of the world, flesh world, and the devil, and we got forces that try to knock us out of this place. And so as you're maybe over here, and you're not sensing the grace, you're not sensing that peace, you're not sensing that, you're not feeling very spiritually minded, all right? And it's like you can feel and put a pressure on yourself to have to get spiritually minded, to have to come up with something, to have to work something up. And this is where, again, God is a safe place. Hey, I've been here and I've had the five scriptures and I've declared them and I've gotten in the spirit and gotten the victory. Praise God. That's awesome. But there are times when I don't. I'm over here and I'm frustrated and feeling lost, feeling alienated, feeling. Okay? What does God say? He says, "Come unto me. Come unto me." You see, I don't have to try to put some creative pressure on myself to work up something spiritual. I'm going to go where spiritual is. These words are spirit and their life. The presence of God, the throne of grace, it is spiritual. Kind of put it this way, the scripture puts it this way. It says, "Walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh." I can't in myself make my, I can't defeat self with self. I got to get to the spirit. I got to get to spiritual things. In other words, the powers in this word of God, I can't creatively manufacture something. I'm going to where the Spirit, those Spirit words are. It's powerful. You know, it's almost like if you were charged and you were doing something creative. I don't know, maybe whether it's music or design or something like that, and somebody came along and said, oh, we got to have a new design in 15 minutes. Hurry up. You need to hurry up and be creative here. That's a tough deal to do. It's hard to hurry up and be creative. It's hard to hurry up and be spiritual when you're not feeling it. And you can kind of find yourself, I should be doing better than this. I should. Don't put that pressure on yourself. Come unto Him. Come unto Him. Begin to read His words. Begin to read these words. It gets you spiritually minded. It gets you thinking in the right along the right track again, along the right vein again. When I was working for a company, you know, years ago, and we were a programmer, and we'd all be in our little cubes, and sometimes I'd get a project that I'd have to get done with a tight deadline. But this company had a beautiful atrium, and I would just go down to the bottom floor, look at all the indoor amazing trees and glass and the high ceilings, and just get a blank notepad and sit back in a chair and just start drawing and just rest. I put no pressure on myself to have to get creative and figure it out. I just slow down. You can see the spirit of this. It's slow down. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and you're going to find rest for your souls. There's a coming unto Him. The Word of God is spiritual. The Word of God is powerful. The throne of God is powerful. It's presence. And what we can do is we can come unto Him and get that charge, get that strengthening, get that what He has, learning from Him. When I look at the Word of God, you know, there's so many obviously powerful scriptures. One of the things that you can do, and what I've, you know, done is, especially when you read the Psalms, you read Proverbs, you read different things like that, what happens is you begin to just by faith, feeding on the Word of God, is that the spiritual mindedness, the spiritual strength that's in the Word of God will just get into you. But it's just a coming unto Him. He cares for you. He cares for you. God is a safe place. I don't have to have it figured out. I don't have to know everything. All I'm doing is I'm just coming unto Him. And there is an absolute satisfaction that I get as I come unto Him and receive that strength to help in time of need. And then finally, God is for you. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and is furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And again, this is kind of the final piece just this morning I would just want to talk about in terms of God as a safe place. He is for us. He is for us, being successful in everything that we do in our life. In Ephesians, it says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. What are we talking about? We're talking about a God who is for us. And this is where I think as we can look at our lives and look at our walk with the Lord, sometimes we may do some things, we may fail. If we fall down, we get back up again, fall down, get back up again. To see God is He is God, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And yet if there is anybody who's cheering for you more than anyone else, it's God. Why? You're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He's ordained you to walk in. And I just kind of like to think of it like this. You know, this is your time. And you're in the game right now. And what is this scripture saying? It's saying there are plays that are being called to you. You're carrying the ball. There's things that He has for you to do. In other words, he doesn't just love you so you can feel good and not feel embarrassed or not feel condemned, but he has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, there's something that we refer to a lot as job satisfaction. And there is a real satisfaction that comes from a good hard day's work. Doing something that you know you're doing it well, you can see the accomplishment, you can see the fruit of it, and God has a job satisfaction, a spiritual job satisfaction. It may be in raising your kids, it may be in just being a good neighbor, being a part of ministry, part of Helps Ministry, ministering the Word of God, just being kind, showing love to people. There's just different things. Good works he's ordained you to walk in. It's not always going to be dramatic. It's just following those promptings that he puts on your heart. But he is for you. He is for your success. He is with you. And no matter what you come through, he is for you. He is with you. The psalmist put it like this. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here we see a psalmist. The psalmist, he knew that, man, no matter what comes, I know one thing. You're with me. You're protecting me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love that picture. You know, all of a sudden you got people around you. Maybe they're naysaying, they're coming against you. And what does God do? He anoints you in the presence of your enemies. But where does that come from? It comes from the safe place. It comes from going to God. This isn't a message about a great theological truth. It's not a message about taking your stand or even resisting or even having some kind of a breakthrough. It's about one thing. It's about going to God. He's a safe place. He's the place that you go to where you know one thing. He knows you completely. He cares for you, and he's for you. It's just a place where you can go into his presence and work things out. Work things out. I love the garden illustration, you know, where Adam and Eve, they sinned, they missed it. And when Jesus made that way, we call the throne of grace, it was really the way back into the garden. It was really just the way back to hang out with God. And this has nothing to do with where I'm at spiritually. It has nothing to do with what I believe theologically or doctrinally. I mean, obviously, I need to believe Jesus Christ is Lord and receive him as my Savior, being the family of God. But from there, this is just a place. It's a place where I work through theological beliefs. It's a place where I work through my relationship with God, where I work through my walk with God. God is a safe place. He knows you. He knows you completely. And in this place, like I said, it's not a place where I'm trying to feel it. I'm not trying to work anything up. It's just the place that I'm going. I'm saying, okay, Lord, here we go. What about this healing thing? Is that really for today? Is that your will? Show me. Lead me. Guide me. Father, what about this relationship issue? Help me. I know I've talked to you about it before, but Father, just show me. Give me grace. Let me know your will in this matter. You know, it's basically that coming to God. And as we're living for God, as we're doing things for God, as we're growing in the theology, all that different kind of stuff, this right here is the garden. It's the center. We can never lose sight of this. I'm here because of one reason. God loves me. Greatest theological truth in the whole Bible is that Jesus loves me, and he's with me, and he's for me. And he's a safe place. He's a safe place to cry out. He's a safe place to just let your request be made known unto him. This is one of those messages that is an absolute one-size-fits-all. No matter where you are, he is a safe place. He's going to be that shelter from the storm. And he's going to show you things. And it's going to be you and him. And as you get things in your spirit, praise God. You'll say, thank you, Lord. That was you. You said you'd lead and guide me into all truth by your Spirit, and you have. But your access to this place, it's just by faith. Just come here by faith. Come here by faith. And it's not a geographical location. This can be in your car. It can be in your bedroom. It could be out in the woods. But don't ever lose this. This is what you were created for. Fellowship with God. Hanging out with God. Getting to know Him. There is nothing like knowing God for yourself. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that you are a safe place. And Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, as we just take a little bit of time, we just take a little bit of time to just realize who you are, the God of the universe who loves us and is for us, that we just remember or encouraged this morning that you are a safe place. You know us completely. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, dear Heavenly Father, you know me completely. You see my hand. There's nothing I can hide from you. I lay all my cards down. I surrender. You know me completely, and you love me completely. I remember that this morning. No striving, just acknowledging. I can rest. I can be at ease. And Heavenly Father, you care for me affectionately. Help me to approach you, not to work anything up, but to realize what I need is there. Where you are. I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to receive mercy and grace to help in my time of need. Help me to work through theological issues that as I believe things, they bear witness to my spirit. I will always take time to acknowledge you so you can direct my paths, knowing that you're for me, that you're with me. I have nothing to fear. You anoint me in the presence of my enemies. Your agenda for my life is good works you've ordained me to walk in. Father, I trust you. I look to you. Help me to get to know you in this safe place. That no matter what, it's never checkmate. I've always got another move. The safe place of your presence. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Praise God. You know, there are just times you got to get away. There's an old, I'd set aside the cares of this world and fall in love with you again. It's an old Phil Driscoll song. Boy, there's times we've got to just do that. Just got to come away with God. He's the safe place. He's the strength of our life. And in just those places of just his quiet presence, just realizing, Lord, you are safe. Safe. You are the tower of refuge. The rock that is higher than I. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God.